Right, if you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and chapter 11. We're going to read part of the beginning of chapter 11 and then move over to chapter 12 to look at the first two verses of chapter 12. So Hebrews chapter 11, beginning from verse 1, this is the word of God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more exceeding excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We would continue to go on, and as you continue to go on in this chapter, we read a wonderful list of men and women of faith who loved God and looked towards the promises. Though that they didn't see, they believed. But for time's sake, we're just going to move to chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So reads God's word. And before coming to that, as we look at those couple of verses there in chapter 12, we'll turn to him once again in prayer. Oh Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for those men and women of faith that we read in these great chapters of your word. We thank you for the example they give of what it is to live believing, believing in the promises, believing in the God of the promises. And Lord, I do pray that you would instruct us now, help us to engage with the word, help us to listen, help us to understand. Strengthen me, the speaker, uphold me, and help me to preach only truth. And may we discern that truth and apply it to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, who's looking forward to the Olympics? The Olympics starting tomorrow, I believe. For an athlete, the height of their career is getting to the Olympics. Even higher would be winning the prize, the gold medal. Years of countless hours spent in training in order to win, in order to run, or in order to perform and win the prize. But sadly, some athletes crash out. They make a mistake, they fall over, something happens, an injury happens, and they do not finish the course. They do not even complete the race, let alone win the medal. I wonder how many athletes will not even begin this year in their chosen sport due to the COVID. But they've been striving towards the goal. They've been aiming at winning the prize. They want to finish the race. In the London Olympics in 2012, there were a number of athletes that crashed out. One of whom was a long-distance runner from America. I haven't given you her name because I wasn't sure how to pronounce it. But she fell in the last lap of a 1,500-metre race. She was one of the favourites to win, and she crashed out. She never even made it to the finish line. In the same games, there was also another American, a relay runner, who actually broke his leg in the middle of running the race and yet completed his stint so that his team came joint first in running that race. It was the fastest ever first round heat at an Olympics, apparently. How he did that, I do not know, but he was enabled and he finished the race. I know there's a bit of illustration here, but in the London Marathon, often hundreds of people do not finish the race. They crash out of the course. And even more do not even make it to the beginning, make it to the start line. Why am I telling you all this? Well, that's exactly what the passage before us is speaking about. It's speaking about a race. And it's speaking about a race that all of God's people, all people of faith, all people who profess faith are on a course, in a race. And it's speaking to us about not quitting, about striving for the finish line and completing well. You see, the people to whom this letter to the Hebrews was written was contemplating giving up. They were Jews who had turned from Judaism to the Lord Jesus Christ to follow him. But they had faced persecution. And in order to ease their persecution and suffering, they were contemplating, and some of them actually did, give up the faith and go back to their Jewish religion. And so these people were tempted to go back to Judaism, and the writer is speaking to them of the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the supremacy of him as the Son of God. He speaks of the insufficiencies of the Old Testament priesthood and sacrificial system, and speaks of the supremacy of the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ's final sacrifice that can atone for sin. They are exhorted to hold fast to the confession of their hope in chapter 10. But if they were to do that, it would involve a great cost and opposition. But then we come to chapter 11, where the writer goes on to encourage them, though there might be great cost. He encourages them with this great list of men and women who followed God, who believed the promises right to the end and finished the race well. And many of them, going on, we read about those who were had trials of mockings, verse 36 of chapter 11, and scourgings of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted and tormented. You see, he's speaking about these men and women of faith that faced great trial, yet they kept their eyes on the prize. They believed in God, that his promises were sure and steadfast. And then in verse 1 of chapter 12, these verses that we're mainly looking at tonight, the writer gives us a picture of a race, a great stadium with those people in who had finished the race, who had gone before. And he's saying, the course that you have begun is a race. This life, this Christian life, is a race. And you must persevere. You must strive towards the finish line and finish well. You must keep on running by faith. And there are many things that could cause us to falter and give up. And so I just want to draw us from this passage a few motivations to persevere in this race that you have begun on if you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. To persevere, to not give up. And also, having seen the motivations to persevere, the instructions in which way we should be running. But firstly, very, very briefly, what is faith? Now, that's a big question. I'm not intending to go into a systematic theology of what faith is. We haven't got the time. I just want to quote just a couple of commentators on this, just to simply put it. Faith concerns unseen spiritual realities, things as they are in God's sight. Faith, therefore, relates to the things we do not yet have, to the things that we hope for and do not see, to things that are promised by God but are so far unfulfilled in our actual experience. So it's faith in promises, faith in God's word, of things to come. He goes on, faith lays hold of what is promised and therefore hoped for as something real and solid, though as yet unseen. Paul wrote, didn't he? We walk by faith and not by sight. We haven't seen God. We haven't seen the Lord Jesus Christ with our own eyes. But we have his word. We have the promises in his word. We have the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. And in his word we see in Christ God. We see all his love and compassion. We see his justice being met. We see the way to live. We see the way of salvation. Faith in things that we have not seen. And so our faith is exactly the same as the faith of those in the Old Testament that the book, the writer to the Hebrews is drawing from. They had the word of God come to them in promises, and they clung to those promises and they trusted those promises, and in faith they believed that those promises would be sure and come to be. And so that is faith. And we are to run this race by faith, looking to God's word and trusting in the God of the word. So let's swiftly move on to the encouragements to persevere. And in both these points, I have three points, these sub-points. So the first encouragement is the one who enlisted you into the race, the one who placed you on the start line, the one who gave you faith. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2:8 that faith is a gift of God. And he gives us this gift that we may exercise it in Christ, that we may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his word. And it is he who has enlisted us into this race of faith. Verse 2 goes on to tell us that it is Jesus who is the author and finisher of our faith. So it is Christ who is the one who has saved us, who authored faith in our lives. And he is the one that will bring us on to the finish line. He is the perfecter, the finisher of our faith. He is the one that has made salvation possible through his blood. He is the one who kept the faith perfectly. We read, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. My friends, this isn't just a friend that has egged you on to run a race that we might let down if we do not complete it. This isn't just our parents or family members that have nominated us for something that we want to try and do to please them. No, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, who has laid down his life and has given us faith that we are seeking to run this race for, to finish the race in his name. He gave his life for you. He endured hardship and shame for you if you were a believer. Stuart Olliott gives an illustration of his gym teacher who all the students loved. He used to work them very, very hard, apparently, and often signed them up for cross-country races. But this teacher, in those cross-country races, used to encourage them. He used to pop up at difficult times in the course in order to cheer them on, to encourage them, and he would always be there at the finish line to welcome them and to celebrate with them and to congratulate them. He also states that there were some other gym teachers that would do so and would not take any care over it whatsoever. And in those races, they didn't run very well at all. But in the races that this gym teacher enlisted them on, they ran their very best in order to please him. And so, as Stuart Olliott used to run his best for his favourite teacher, who encouraged him, how much greater should we run? How much more dedicated to the run in the Christian life should we be when we have our great Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has enlisted us into that race, who encourages us and helps us through it? But the second motivation is the heroes cheering us on. The heroes cheering us on. The writer paints this great picture of a stadium. Just think of, I have no idea what the name of the stadium is that they're going to be using in the Olympics this year, but just think of a great stadium like Wembley. Thousands of people packed in, all cheering on the runners. And that is the picture we have here, a great stadium of people who have kept the faith. And these people haven't just paid for a ticket. They haven't earned money that they have laid down for a ticket. They haven't even won tickets in a prize draw. No, they are ones, the only ones seated in that stadium are the ones who have completed the race. They've run it. They know what it's like. They've endured the hardships of the race, and yet they kept the faith. They endured many things, but they looked with faith to the promises of their great God. Just think of those great men and women of faith. We think of Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Jeremiah. Think of Stephen being stoned for the preaching of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, all of what he went through, he finished the race well. There may be later on in years We think of men down through church history, and women indeed, down through church history. Spurgeon, Lloyd Jones, men and women in your own lives, in your own church, who have gone before, who have finished the race. They're there, cheering us on. A sportsman always performs better when they are in front of a home crowd. And this indeed is a home crowd who are encouraging us, who speaks through their lives to us, some of them in their words to us in Holy Scripture, to encourage us to persevere to the very end. When some of you are struggling with great sacrifice in the Christian life, Abraham cries out, "I know what it's like. I sacrificed much. Yet remember the promise of our inheritance." Keep going. Keep running. When we come to an insurmountable obstacle before us that we do not see any way through, Moses shouts out, "I've been in your shoes. Keep on going, looking to God. He is a great God. Look to him in faith. He will make a way." When you face compromise all around you, and there is great pressure to compromise yourself, Spurgeon cries out, "Have great faith, brother. Have great faith, sister. God helped me, and he will help you in withstanding and running that race that God has set before you." And so we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who enlisted us in the race, the heroes that are cheering us on, and we have the prize as a motivation for the race, a prize. Paul in Philippians 3 tells us that the prize tells us what the prize is that we will obtain. He says, "I press towards the goal for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What a prize. The prize, our prize, the end of our faith is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. To enjoy God forever, to be in his presence for eternity. John 17:3 says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life. That is the prize. And yes, this is where we see the now and not yet of Scripture. So often we see, we taste it now, we grasp it by faith now, but it's not a full reality now. But then it will be a full reality, and we will obtain a wonderful prize as we, by faith. Remember that faith is given to us. But as we exercise that faith, endure to the end, we will win a wonderful prize. Keep looking to him, our great prize. And so the writer here is in the process of pleading with these Hebrews not to abandon the faith. But as I've read, or as I mentioned already in Hebrews 10:23, he says, "Hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And so these believers on the brink of abandoning the gospel, and maybe you are at the end of your tether here tonight, I do not know. Maybe some of you are at home going through great trials, do not know which way to turn, thinking about compromise, thinking about quitting, crashing out of the race. Well, what does the writer to the Hebrews say? He says, yes, hold fast to that confession without wavering. But he also says, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Continue believing. Continue pressing on for that upward call of God. So we have many, three here, but there are many other motivations, but three here motivations for running the race and continuing in it. But secondly then, the instruction for the race. Instruction for the race. The first instruction we read in verse 1. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us." So notice we are to throw off all hindrances. All perceived hindrances to us running this race of faith, running the Christian life well, we must throw off. This is strong language here. We must cast it far aside. We mustn't countenance it. We mustn't try running with it. We must lay it aside. And firstly, we must lay aside all weights. Well, what is the writer here speaking of? All weights. Well, we know that he's not necessarily speaking about sin explicitly, because he goes on to address sin. And we will address that in a moment, obviously. But what are these weights? What could these be? What are these that we are instructed, commanded to throw off? Well, these are those things that are not sinful in themselves. So you can't say explicitly, you mustn't do that, this is sinful. For each and every one of us, these things could be different. But they're things that hamper us personally in our walk with God. They hamper us, slow us down in a race. Remember, all who run a race run it in order to win. They don't just run for the fun of it. They want to run as fast as they can, the best they can. And in order to do that, they cast off the weights. We're not talking about those fun runners who run the London Marathon with a big outfit on for the fun of it. No, they're not aiming to run as well as they can. But we as Christians, we as those who put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, are to run the best we possibly can. And to do that, we must cast aside all the weights. That possibly is a hobby, a pastime that encroaches into our life, maybe tempts us into sin, maybe tempts us into idolatry, or maybe just takes time away when we could be doing something better in witnessing for Christ or in growing in grace. It could be a job that takes us away from the worship of the Lord. It may be even a friend that prevents us from running the race well, a poor influence. Now, all of these things, like I say, are not explicitly wrong in themselves. Some of them could possibly be, but these are things that we know in our heart that maybe they're consuming too much time. It's a hindrance to me. Going to that place tempts me to sin. It is throwing it all off. Maybe for some of us, not watching so much TV. Or maybe deleting our Facebook account because we waste too much time. All of these things, you see. But we must ask ourselves, we must speak to ourselves, look inwardly to see which those weights are and lay them aside. You may ask, well, why? Why? Well, as I've said already, we want to run well, don't we? And we want to run well because of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love that he has bestowed upon us, and we love him because he first loved us. And we want to please him, and we want to run well. And this will, as I say, will be different for all of us, in the same way a specially designed diet would be for the elite athlete. Every elite athlete will have a different diet to enable them to run well. They've all got the same goal, and so it is. There may be different things. Some things will be healthy for one person and a hindrance to the other. And so we must examine our own hearts. But secondly, sin. We must cast off all sin. Lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Is this speaking about one particular sin? No, I don't think so. Is this speaking about the flagrant open sins alone? Again, no, I don't think so. This is speaking about sin. All sin. That's even the secret sins, the sins that no one else knows about. The sins that we can keep very well hidden. Well, my friends, they will cause us to stumble. They will cause us to fall if we countenance them, if we do not lay them aside. Just think about a rogue back in those days when they were running the Olympics or the races in their great festivals of racing. They would run with laying everything off. They would have worn long robes. And just imagine if they had kept that robe on, they would have fallen over with it. It would have caused them to stumble. And that is like our sin. And we must be mortifying the sin. We must be ruthless with sin. We must cut it off. Bridges calls them respectable sins, some sins, doesn't he? And it's even those sins, those that are quite acceptable in our society, sometimes even acceptable in our church, we must cast them off. And so, looking to Jesus then, we must cast off all sin and the weights that will slow us down and ensnare us and cause us to stumble and fall. But secondly, we are also to run with endurance. Run with endurance. He says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. A runner runs. They don't walk. A runner runs and they continue to the end. They don't stop until they get there. They continue running. They must persevere, even when their legs hurt. When everything is telling them to stop, they hit the wall. If they are to run well, they must continue to run. I don't know if any of you have ever watched the world's toughest race on telly. It's a fascinating program to watch. In this race, I didn't write down exactly how many miles it was, but it was ridiculous. Went over about 12 days, constant racing through all sorts of terrain, through jungle, through rivers, through mountainous areas, on the sea, on kayaks, on paddle boards, all sorts of different things. And you see them enduring things that I have never seen before. The perseverance and endurance, absolutely astounding. And they keep pushing forwards. They encounter rock faces that they need to climb, rivers they need to swim, jungles they need to hack their way through. And yet they keep on persevering, some of them right through the night for days on end, with maybe an hour's sleep. They keep on going, whatever comes their way. And the same must be said for the race of faith. All our races are slightly different. All of their races seem to be slightly different. They were going in the same direction, heading for the same goal, and approximately was going on the same race, but their route was slightly different. The obstacles they encountered were slightly different. And so it is with us. Our races may all look different. Some of them short, some of them long, some of them with great trials, some of them with less. But we must run the race that God has set before us, and he will give us the grace to persevere. And in that world's toughest race, we see them working together in great ways. The camaraderie, encouraging one another, putting their arms around one another, helping one another, binding up the wounds of one another. And so it is with us. God has set us in a church, and we are to encourage one another in our race, so that we can encourage, look, keep going, keep looking, keep persevering. And finally then, the final instruction for the race. we must fix our eyes on Christ. To run this race, we must fix our eyes on Christ. That is one of the key main instructions for the race. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I don't know if many of you have ridden a motorbike here. Some of you may have. I'm going to use a motorbike illustration. When you ride a motorbike, one of the first rules you need to understand, that is, when you go around the corner, you must look to where you want to aim towards and not at the corner itself, not at anything else. Because as soon as you take your eye off from where you want to get to, going it's counterintuitive, really. You want to look around the corner, but you need to look where you want to go, because if you don't, you more often than not will crash. It's a strange thing. You just, the way you're looking, you want to go. And you'll veer off course. And so many people have had bad accidents in that way. And so it is in our race of faith. We need to be looking where we are aiming towards, which is Christ. Christ. If we take our eyes off of Christ and look at the difficulties, look at the tests, the trials, or even the pleasures in life, if we take our eyes off of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are liable to crash and crash out of the race. Christ, revealed in God's word, is the object of our faith. It is in him that all the promises are yes and amen. He is the fulfillment of all the promises to the Old Testament saints. You see, it was him that they were looking to by faith through the promises. And they kept their eyes on him. And we too are to keep our eyes on him. Just think of Abraham in chapter 11. The writer tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promise, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. What amazing faith. What amazing exploits these men and women did with their eyes fixed upon God and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter learnt this the hard way, didn't he? As he was walking on the water, he had the privilege of seeing Jesus in his flesh. And as he fixed his eyes upon him, he was able to walk to him. And as soon as his eyes turned away, he began to sink. And yet Jesus was there to lift him up. And indeed, we can thank God that on those occasions when our eyes do wander, he is there to hold us, there to keep us. But we must constantly be looking to him. Why? Because he is the one who has saved us. He has given us the faith. He is the one that has set the course before us. And he is the one who will bring us over the finish line. He is the author and finisher of our faith. But not only that, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the one who has completed the race before us. He is the one who has gone ahead of us and ran it perfectly. He is the trailblazer into heaven. He is the one that has paved the way that we may be there with him. We must constantly be looking to him. There is no one better to imitate in this race than our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we look to him and the more we study him in the word, the more we will become like the Lord Jesus Christ and be conformed to the image of God, being conformed by the truth, by the word, the more we study him in the word and fixing our eyes upon him. So, persevere, brothers and sisters. Do great exploits. Be faithful in hard days. Run the race with endurance, perseverance. Keep the faith, because we have a wonderful Saviour. We have a wonderful prize ahead of us. Heed the warnings. Do not crash out. Listen to the instructions. Be ruthless with sin. Examine your heart and run well. There may be some who are listening who have not begun on that race of faith. Then look to Jesus, the only one who can save you, the only one who can place you on that start line in your walk with God. And if you look to him, you believe in him with all your heart, he is sure to save you, because that is his word. That is his promise. And so too, I pray that you will be able to run this race too, if you look to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, just briefly then, we have seen the encouragements to run the race. Jesus, the one who enlists you, the heroes cheering us on, the one who has displayed great faith, and Jesus, the prize. And the instructions given us to run the race well and not crush out the race, to throw off all hindrances, the weights and the sin, to run with perseverance and endurance. Just keep on running, keep on going, and fix your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.